Good morning. Glad to see all of you here, and it's just awesome to worship with you all on such a glorious day. Last night I was at a gathering with 250 some fellow Christians, and I would think probably 50 or 60 of them were pastors. I am not one. But some of the things that come out of their mouths are so profound sometimes. And, you know, after writing my sermon, you just kind of want to go and insert this kind of stuff. And if I would have done that, we would not be out of here today at all. But I'm happy to be here with you. My name is Paul. My last name is Rutheisen, obviously from not around here. However, I do live on Rocky Ford Road and have for 13 years and have lived in North Carolina for 25, so I can say y'all, I think, and get away with it. Please join me. I'm going to be reading from 1 Samuel 17, 26 through 37, and I'm going to speak on David and Goliath today, which is an old but just really profound story. David asked the men standing near him, "What would be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" I mean, they repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "But this is what's going to be done for the man that kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger. And he asked him, "Why have you come down here? And with whom have you left your sheep with? I mean, they're in the desert. I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart really is. You came here only to watch the battle, didn't you?" Now David says, "What have I done? Can't I even speak?" He turned away to ask someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as they did before. Now that David was overheard and was reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant, me, will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You're not able to do this. You can't go out and fight this Philistine. You're only a boy. He's been fighting men for many years, since he was a youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came down and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul just said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I think we all know the rest of the story, how David kind of shuns the armor because of the weight, how he found the sword and the helmet kind of awkward because he wasn't really used to that kind of battle, that kind of fighting. We all know how he plucked five stones from the stream. You know, this all takes me back to when I was a kid and listened to my Sunday school teacher tell me the same story. He embellished all these things and all the details that went along with this story emphasize, and really, more than anything, David's deep faith in God. You know, all these hand gestures and everything went up, and movements and everything. And after he concluded, he asked us all, and I think we were 5, 6 years old. My best friend stood up real quick, and after he asked, you know, what have you all learned from this? And my best friend said, duck. Sometimes we all need to. During the week, I want you to all, at your leisure, look over the entire 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, where this story is located. There's a number of things I really don't have time to cover because it is quite long. But let's first look at the context. David, who we all know as the author of one of the most repeated psalms in the Bible, and future king, at this point in his life was just a mere shepherd boy. He's the youngest of a band of brothers who are part of this militia fighting the dreaded and evil Philistines. I mean, Israel is on one mountain, Philistines are on another, in between the Valley of Elah. And about 15 miles from Jerusalem, all this took place. But every day for 40 days, Goliath used to come out and taunt them, curse them. He wanted them to send out their best man. And he said to them, if he's able to fight and kill me, I will become one of your subjects. However, if I win, you'll become ours. I mean, this is a one-on-one battle, winner-take-all scenario. And every day, Goliath sent out this challenge. Saul declined to send a man. And really for one good reason. There's no way they could win. I mean, Goliath was huge, over 9 feet tall. He wore armor that weighed over 100 pounds. I mean, he was like me going up against some WWE wrestler or NFL lineman. But it wasn't just the size of Goliath that was the issue. The Philistines were, relatively speaking, an advanced culture. They had iron, they had copper, they had horses and chariots. By the Hebrews, they had none of these. They were nomadic by nature and really kind of wandering. But out of this nomadic, wandering culture, the boy named David came and said to Saul, let me in there, let me go. I'm not afraid of this Philistine. I know that God will go with me. And at first, Saul says, no way. And then perhaps due to David's continued pestering, or because maybe he had no one else to fight Goliath. Or, you know, maybe it was because of David's continued and ultimate brightness of his faith that he trusted God would go with him. So Saul relents. So we remember all this time Goliath is out there on this mountaintop taunting him, just like in WWE or in that movie Rocky. I can hear him saying on that mountaintop, I want you, like Rocky does. And then he sees little David approach. You know, we all know the story. More taunting. I can hear Arnold say, you will be crushed. But David is clear. He is clear about his mission. He proclaims that he is acting in the name of a living God. And that when Goliath steps forward to attack, David rushes forward, downs the giant with one single blow. Now, we all know the typical takeaway from this. First and especially, boys aren't nice. And just because someone is bigger than you doesn't give them permission to treat you or anybody badly. Second, might doesn't make right. Goliath's size was obviously no match for David's precision or obviously his courage. I mean, I'm often reminded of people in the service, our veterans, our EMTs, our firefighters, our police. They always seem to be the ones running into the fury, the fire, the cloud. Like David. I mean, it's a courage defined as the choice or the willingness to confront agony, pain, danger, uncertainty, or intimidation. Kind of like Jesus did. Kind of like his disciples did. But the point is, even if you're the underdog, you need to remember that you don't have to be big. You don't have to be mean to succeed or to win. But mostly, when we trust in God and God alone, we have the capacity to rid ourselves of whatever giants are in our way. We can look at Goliath in two ways, the eyes of the faithless or the eyes of the faithful. I mean, I've heard it say that in any situation, what you are determines what you see. And what you see determines what you do. And I found that the limited view of the faithful and the faithless are totally different. The faithless, what they see is fear, which in this case is just dominance by the Philistines. The view of the faithless is a view of limited sight. When we only see what he can do, we fail to even consider what God can do or has already done to prepare us for victory in his name. Not David's name, not Saul's name, but in God's name. It's limited because the spiritual is not involved, only the physical. We see obstacles as undefeatable giants because of their size. Remember, Goliath was over 9 feet tall. In verse 24 and 25, it says, when the Israelites saw this man, they ran from him in great fear. Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. Now, the word defy means to taunt, to ridicule, to humiliate. Isn't that what our own Goliaths do? Our bitterness, our habits, our own unsettled matters, our problems that are unsettled from the past, our difficult moral decisions that we face every day, even now. I mean, if I try to quit this thing now, try to stop this habit I have now, this bitterness, and fight my own Goliath, won't my life be changed too much? Might I have too much to lose if I try to beat my Goliath now? You know, when we live by this limited vision, we've already lost. I mean, the Israelites were probably learning how to speak the Philistine language at this point. But I think the real tragedy occurs when we pass off this defeated attitude to others. I mean, David comes up walking and saying, why doesn't somebody put a stop to this? Saul's response in 1733 is typical. You can't go with this guy. You can't win. You're too small. You're too young. Don't you get tired of hearing this? That our churches can't do this, that our young people can't do that because they're too immature, or you can't do this because it really doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be this way. Now remember, I was talking about this limited view. Now I found in my life that with faith And with an unlimited view, we have courage. And with courage, we dominate our enemies, our demons. Courage comes because we have confidence in God's unlimited power, not our own physical limitations. Now, I was really struck this week, not by a stone, but by the optimism and assurance of David. I mean, he wasn't willing to do the normal things that guys going into battle do. Remember, no armor, no sword. In fact, he was so confident in his calling and his mission that he was quite sure if he was to abandon his natural instincts in favor of conventional warfare, he would fail. David was so confident in God's protection that he risked his very life for his people, his family. You know, I think when we play by Goliath's rules, Goliath always wins. When we see Goliath with human eyes, with limited vision, we're defeated already. Let's face it, most of the time we choose to play by his rules, meaning the one or ones with the biggest stature wins, or the ones with the most money or the greatest raw power. I mean, they're the ones who make the rules, right? Because we allow it like Saul allowed it, like their whole army allowed it. David, though, David refused to allow it. But here's the reality. We have a choice to live by Goliath's rules or by God's. We can see giants with this limited vision and let them continue to taunt us, dominate us, and defeat us. We can live in fear, or we can claim God's power and take them down in faith. I mean, at what cost are our values? At what cost is our love? And what do we do to give up for either? When do we accept our failures? And when do we confront our fears? I mean, isn't loving and believing in him the least we can do? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, give us the strength to go forward in life and defeat our own Goliaths. Fill us with your presence to recognize and get past all these demons. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.